Talking about the Holy Spirit. We're trying to go throughout the scripture and look at every verse that we can as pertains to the Holy Spirit. I'm starting to understand that. We looked at the Old Testament and we started in the Synoptic Gospels, and we seen that there was not a whole lot of change as far as the describing what the Holy Spirit does. Looking at it in the life of in ministry of Jesus. So we want to continue in that. We want to continue in where we left off. I think on our list we left off on 99. So I think we'll start here. It gave the disciples words to speak when on trial. It gave the disciples words to speak when on trial. And so we got verses of scripture for that. We want to go over these verses and we're going to see how far we can get tonight to try to make some ground. There's a lot of slides and a lot of verses of scripture. But let's look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 20. For it is not you who speaks. It is not you who speaks, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. It's not you that speaks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So how many's ever had that an instant where you was sharing with somebody and you wasn't planning on it? It just so happens that somebody came and you met them and some conversation came up. Maybe a question came up, or maybe they presented a problem. Then all of a sudden, no pre-studying or working, you didn't have anything wrote on a piece of paper. You just begin to talk to them. You begin to just share some things with them. Well, how many know that we have to start giving that credit to the Spirit? How many understand that? How many's ever prepared to go talk somewhere? Well, you prepared and you was going to talk in class, or you was going to talk somewhere and you wrote some notes down and you went over what you was going to say. So when you get up to do that, it's not easy. Even when you're trying to follow along with what you had to say, right? But then all of a sudden, it's like you might call it, well, it just started flowing. What is that? That's the Spirit. Now, you got to remember that. We got to give credit to that, to the Spirit. So, and there's been times that you never studied anything at all. Somebody comes with a situation or whatever, and you start speaking. Who is that? What is that happening? Spirit of God. That's what you got to give credit. You got to say, just thank you, Father. Thank you for giving me the words. For it is not you who speaks, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Why is that? Because the Spirit knows all things. And so the more we do it, the more the relationship is fostered, the more you understand it. That's what's happening. That's exactly what's happening to you. And that's important. So you got to constantly do that. When you do that, you'll see how it just begins to get better and better. Matthew 10:20, for it is not you who speaks, but the Father, the Spirit of your Father, who speaks through you. And I was giving you both of these translations last time just to show you some of the difference in the one God, the Father, the one man, a Messiah translation. Mark 13, verse 11, when they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speaks, but it is the Holy Spirit. I mean, see that. It is the Holy Spirit. And then I gave it again in the next translation. I said, when they come and arrest you and put you on trial, do not worry about what to say. Just say what you are told at that time, because it will not be you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. And that should be encouraging to all of us when we have an encounter. And you never know. Sometimes you might, you think in your mind, if I played a scenario out. Anybody's ever done that? A scenario maybe I'll meet this person and we have this encounter. And you can go over that in your mind. But then there's times that are unexpected. You didn't even expect it. That somebody just says, I'm having a bad day. I'm having a situation. You know, can you help me or can you pray for me? Or whatever it might be. In this case, we find that when Jesus ascended to the Father, he told him, he said, it's going to get tough for you. It's going to be very difficult for you to be an apostle, to follow me and to continue to spread the gospel. They're going to hate you, literally hate you. They're going to put you on trial. They're going to put you before the judges. They're going to feed you to the animals. They're going to saw you asunder. They're going to ball you in awe. They're going to crucify you. They're going to do a lot of bad things to you. But don't worry. He says, don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't fret yourself over that, because when you need to speak, the Spirit is going to come and you'll have words to say. And they'll be beyond your years, wisdom beyond your understanding. And that's what's so good about, because God is not going to let you stand there dumbfounded and not be able to tell why you being martyred. You won't. If they say, well, why are you being martyred? You're not going to stand there dumbfounded. That's the time. What happened when Stephen was being stoned? You remember that story about Stephen? They drug him out and they began to stone Stephen. He started to speak the words of the Bible and just flowed out of him. God, and that was his last message. Let me tell you, if you ever have that happen to you, your last message, it's going to be powerful. One you didn't write down, you didn't find no verses of Scripture, it's the Spirit of God. Your last thing you say when you're attacked, and this is what he was telling them. They'll arrest you and you'll put you on trial. Don't worry about what to say, because it will not be you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Isn't that incredible? Yeah. That's encouraging to me. So we have to understand that the power of the Spirit of God that operates in our life is absolutely incredible. We need him every day. And that's what's important. You just never know. I've been in situations, sometimes I'd be sitting there and I'm going, God, how in the world I got right here? What in the world? There's so many people who could be sitting in this seat. How in the world am I here? What do you do? You give yield to the Spirit of the Lord, and you start. If you try to start articulating it, I'm telling you, you'll be embarrassed. But you don't do that. You might go and say, man, that did not really make a whole lot of sense to me. But you just said what God wanted you to say. And it affects other people's lives. And that's important. I've been in situations where I was before people that I was like, how in the world I got here? God knew. And so you don't worry about what to say. As long as not, now, again, don't take this as we don't have a job or a task. We're to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. We're to maintain a relationship with God by His Spirit on a daily basis. And a person who can stand and say, you can kill me, but I ain't giving up on God, that somehow they got some type of relationship going on, right? So he's not going to put them in a spot where they're embarrassed. He's going to give them words that's going to blow everybody else's mind when they talk to him. Luke 12:12 says, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Isn't that incredible? Let me tell you something. This ought to be encouraging to us, because sometimes you don't realize that you get put in a spot. You might get a phone call, boom, and you got, what am I going to say? And you might have a brief moment where you feel like a deer caught in the headlights, and then all of a sudden it starts flowing. What is that? You got to acknowledge it. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God working in you. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Isn't that incredible? When in the very hour? To me, that's encouraging. So you can go in a situation. Now, I've been in a situation where my heart felt like it was going to come out my chest. I was nervous, very nervous. And then all of a sudden a calm comes, an anointing. And what is that? Don't go say, well, man, it hit me. I was in my lane. You wasn't in any lane. It didn't hit. You wasn't in no lane. It's the Spirit of God. You got to acknowledge that. The more you acknowledge that the Spirit of God, the power of God works in you, the more it's going to work in you. The more glory you give to God for His Spirit working in you, the more honor you give to God for His Spirit working into you, it's going to continue to grow. You're going to begin to have more understanding. It's going to become clear to you. And that's what's so important. But you got to be willing to give the glory and all the honor and all the praise to the Lord, because He's the one that deserves it. Amen? You know, guys going around talking about, man, I got it. What you got? And so the Spirit can give them information, and then you start claiming it. We should never do that. We should always give the glory and the honor to God. In the other translation of it, the Holy Spirit will teach you in that at that time what you need to say. It enabled Christ to proclaim justice. It enabled Christ to proclaim justice. Matthew 12, verse 18 says this: "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my Spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles." Notice that. "I will put my Spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles." And I put it in the other translation. Again, "I will put my Spirit on him, and he will tell the foreigners." So remember, Gentiles, a lot of times people think, well, the Gentile it was just another group of people other than the Jews. But we're talking about Gentiles literally means foreigners. Anybody foreign. It could have been many different groups of people. So he wasn't just proclaiming it to one Jew and a Gentile. And that was when we compared the word Gentile to it is resembling of the Jews. It's completely different than that. The Gentile is the foreign, everybody else. Everybody else. So I will put my Spirit on him, and he will tell the foreigners what is right. That's incredible. Because there's a group of people who teach that the only it's not for everybody. Well, I don't know how you deal with that verse then. If it's not for everybody, then who are the foreigners? Because people read it as Gentiles. And now another translation for Gentile could mean countries. Could be countries, could be other places. It's a foreigner. So keep that in mind when you're doing your study and you're going through the scripture. Here's one. It empowered the Messiah to cast out demons. The Holy Spirit empowered the Messiah to cast out demons. Did Jesus cast out the demons by himself? No. And he tells Matthew 12:28 says this: "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Notice that. He's telling them. Because they're saying, "But what? How are you doing this?" He said, "I'm telling you, I'm casting out demons by," this is clear, I don't know how you get more clear, "by the Spirit of God." Not his Spirit. Not he didn't say, "I'm doing them by my Spirit." Right? How did he do these things? By the Spirit of God. Now that's important. Then he says, the kingdom of God has come upon you. So he said, "Well, you're not realizing when he says the kingdom of God has come upon you that they're not." He's there to announce that the Messiah has arrived. He's going to pay the price in full. He's going to go away for a time and then return. And he's letting them know that. So what he's declaring? The kingdom of God. Get ready, because they ask him, "Well, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom back to Israel?" No, it's not for you to know the time or the season, which the Father has his own power. But with this, then he tells them what they ought to do. You see, and this is important, very important for us to grab hold to. When I'm doing these two studies, especially the one on Sunday with the words of Jesus, and I read something Jesus said, it just is very difficult for me not to switch to the words of Jesus. So I'm going to have to refrain myself here. In the one God, the Father, one man, Messiah translation says this, but if I am throwing out demons through the power of the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So he's letting them know exactly how he did that. It inspired, talking about the Spirit. The Spirit inspired David to write Psalms. Inspired David to write Psalms. Look at 22 verse 43 says this. He said to them, then how does David in the Spirit call him Lord? How does David in the Spirit, how was he doing this? In the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. Now, this next translation is going to help us understand that comment. Jesus asked them, but how then can David, under inspiration of what? Inspiration of what? Of the Holy Spirit, call him Lord. How many see the little L? David said, the Lord said to my Lord. The Lord, Yahweh, said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I defeat all your enemies. So Jesus is a Lord, and Yahweh is a Lord. Not two Yahwehs. How many see that? Because if we got two Yahwehs, we got to go. Okay, well, how do we answer all the questions to the rest of the scripture? So I'm going to read it again. Let's go back and look at it in SAB. There's no distinction. He said, and I'm just leaving it like I copied it. Right, I copied this scripture right off of the Bible Gateway in SAB. He said to them, then how does David in the Spirit call him Lord? How many see that? Capital L-O. How many see that? L-O-R-D. Saying, the Lord said to my Lord. Right? It's all the same. Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies at your feet. Now, in the one God, the Father, one man, Messiah translation, look what it helps us here. Jesus then asked them, but how then can David, this is David, under inspiration, call him Lord? Little L. So that's Adonai, not Adonai. That's Adonai. So we got Adonai, Adonai. Only thing separate them two words is just a little mark. Right? And so when through the scribes and all this, people quit looking at the little mark or whatever reason, and they just keep it all the same. So some people translate it, David under inspiration called him Yahweh, meaning Jesus. David said, the Lord, Yahweh, said to my Yahweh. Because that's how they translate it. But I want to submit to you, this is how it goes. David says, the Lord, Yahweh, says to my Lord. Notice that? Sit at my right hand until I defeat your enemies. Adonai, Yahweh. There's no Lord above Adonai. Adonai is a Lord of a lesser sense. And Adonai is never used for deity. Abraham was called by Sarah Adonai. You're my Adonai. Did she mean that Abraham was her Yahweh? No. was he, but she, he was still a Lord to her. Do you understand that? Pharaoh was called that. Different ones. I could go through all the scriptures. Some I forget exactly how many, but 90-something. I don't want to even give the number, but it's a lot of Adonis, not Adonai. So keep that in mind. And remember, I asked the question. I'm not sure if I did it on a Thursday night, of the most quoted. What's the most quoted Old Testament Bible verse in the New Testament? Psalm 110:1. Remember that? I gave you that last time. I don't know if it was a Thursday or Sunday. Psalm 110:1. Most, what is that verse? This one right here. The Lord said at my right hand until I defeat all your enemies. And this is important. So Adonai and Adoni. You can do that on your own time. You study, you'll find that. Mark 12:36, David himself said in the Holy Spirit. David himself said in the Holy Spirit. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. Now, if you're just reading, you're just a student, you grab the Bible, you're reading, you say, the Lord said to my Lord. I don't know the distinction there, right? It's hard to distinguish that. But if you read it from the one God, the Father, one man Messiah translation, it helps us. As David himself declares, inspired by, how is he inspired? By Holy Spirit. The Lord said to my Lord. Notice that. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. So who's Yahweh going to sit at his right hand? Jesus. Notice that. He's a Lord. Now, does this make Jesus not superior to all the rest of the angels and all of that? No, it doesn't lesser him. Is he not as important because we call him Adonai? Well, it's not us. It's what the Word said. Remember that. The Word declares that. And so this is him. Don't make Jesus any less. He's got all authority and all power given to him from the Father. It's not making him less. And that's what people say. Well, you're making him, he's nothing. He's something to me. You understand? He's my Savior. He's my soon coming King. He's my hero. He's my champion. What do you want him to be? But what happens is everybody wants to put God in a manger. And why don't we just let the Bible say what it says? What it says. The Lord said to my Lord. Adonai says Adoni. And Adoni is never used for deity. Then you got to take that up with God. That was written a long time ago. And we can't. I know they want to go back and try to. Well, the pointing. Maybe the pointing got misput there. Really. We know it got put in a lot of places, and it was more than the pointing. It caused prophetic utterances. Holy Spirit caused prophetic utterances. Look at Luke 1:41. And watch this. It says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. What was she greeting Elizabeth about? Remember, Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings. What greetings? She was letting her know she was what? That she was pregnant. She was with child. The baby leaped in her womb. What baby? Elizabeth's baby, because she's pregnant. Now, how many months pregnant is Elizabeth when Mary comes and tells her? She's in her 6th month. And so what happens to the baby? It leaps. Now, I don't know who's been pregnant in here. All right? 6 months. You feel anything? Like movement? All right? 6 months. Elizabeth records, she says, the baby moved at the greeting. At the time she said, I'm with child, the baby moved. Now, who's that baby? John, the forerunner. The one prophesied to Zechariah by the angel, your wife's going to have a son. And he's going to be the forerunner. He's going to come first, and he's going to tell everybody, get ready, get ready. Messiah's coming. So, isn't it amazing? Mary says, hey, Elizabeth, I'm pregnant. John. Oh, to me, that's powerful. I just love that kind of stuff. Amen? The baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with? How many see that? Elizabeth was filled with Holy Spirit. That's powerful. And that's the prophetic stuff. Amen? I gave it to you in Luke 1, 6, 67. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying. So he starts to prophesy. He's filled with, what is he? He's, and then notice these things. He's filled with Holy Spirit. Now, one guy, the father, one man translation, it says this, as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, the baby jumped for joy inside of her. Elizabeth was filled with Holy Spirit. Then Zechariah, his father, filled with Holy Spirit, spoke this prophecy. And then you can go and read it for yourself. Read 68, 69, you'll see the prophecy there. It was upon Simeon. Now, this is important because what we're seeing is that it's upon, they're being filled. Notice that. Now, we still have yet to have Acts 2. And we're going to have John, the spirit that we talk about in John. And we're going to talk about this. It really gets a little sensitive there because we got it's what appears to be a clear contradiction in Scripture. But we'll see where it turns out when we look at it. Luke 2:25 says this, and there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Notice that. Now, this is all, I'm reading the synoptics for a reason. This is the time of Jesus' ministry. This is before Acts chapter 2. Jesus had not been crucified. He had not been buried. He's not risen again. And all this is going on in the Holy Spirit. How many see is very active? Why in the world do we think that when Acts 2 comes, that's the first time the Holy Spirit does anything? And I mean, you can't be reading the same scripture I'm reading. You understand my point? So if I tell somebody, what do you know about the Holy Spirit? The first thing they want to do is go to Acts 2, and then they want to take it from there. I think that's wrong. If I'm going to learn about the Spirit of God, we got to go to the beginning of the Scripture, right? And go through the Scripture. That's what we've been doing. We've been doing this for the last few years. If we're going to learn anything, let's start at the front of the book and see what it says about the Spirit of God all through. And so what we find in the Old Testament, very much of doing a lot of work in the Old Testament, the Synoptic Gospels, doing a lot of work. We don't have Acts 2 yet. And I'm reading all this stuff. That's a lot of stuff going on. Hey, listen, if you're studying the Scripture and you study it in chronological order, you'd know a lot about the Holy Spirit before Acts 2. A lot. And I think that's important. I believe it's so important to have that type of habit of studying. In the One God translation, living in Jerusalem at that time was a man called Simeon. Simeon lived uprightly and was very devout. He was waiting expectantly for the consolation and restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So we see that these things are very helpful when understanding the principles of the Word. It reveals truth about the future. The Holy Spirit reveals truth about the future. Luke 2, 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Lord's Messiah. Well, you'll see it in how it should be written. In Luke 2:26, it had been revealed to him through the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Let me see that. He would not die till he saw the Lord's Messiah. So it reveals about the future. So again, all these things are so important. It empowered Jesus. Holy Spirit empowered Jesus. Is this before Acts? Let me ask you a question. This is an easy one now. When Acts 2 came, was Jesus still here? Did he already die and ascend to heaven at the right hand of the Father? So what Holy Spirit are we talking about that empowered Jesus? I want to ask you the question, is it a different Holy Spirit? Is it something else that we're missing here? I'm telling you, it's the Spirit of God. It's God's Spirit operating. How God can interact with humanity. How can God interact with humanity without exposing humanity to the fullness of who he is? Which humanity cannot handle because there's unrighteousness there. We need a Savior. Hence we need a Savior. So we need to be washed in the blood of Jesus. Then we get prepared. Then we die. But then we stay dead? No, we rise again. And when we rise again, then we have the capability of interacting with the Most High God. Isn't that amazing? The Corinthians account that Paul talks about in 15, he talks about the Lord himself. That's powerful. Then Jesus will turn it over to the Father. That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. And to know that you and I are going to be there. Wow, we're going to be there. All what you know now is always going to be ended. You're going to be there in that amazing turning over of this wonderful, wonderful kingdom that Jesus is going to run and do it according to the Father. Luke 4:14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread throughout all the surrounding districts. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Then he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Same Spirit. All these things are working in the one God, the Father, one man, Messiah. Translation, Jesus returned to Galilee fully empowered by the Spirit. Fully empowered by the Spirit. News about him spread everywhere. And I think this might be our last one, and we'll look at something. And it is given by the Father to those who ask. It's given. Who's the giver of the Holy Spirit? The Father. It's given. It is given by the Father to those who ask. Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How many see that? This is clear stuff. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In the one God, the Father, translates, so if you, even as the evil persons you are, still know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give Holy Spirit to those who ask him? These are so important and such incredible parts of these readings. God's Spirit is his influence, presence, and power at work. God's Spirit is his influence, presence, and power at work, accomplishing his will in the universe in general and in among his people in particular. And that's what's so important. He accomplishes these things if we'll start acknowledging and build these relationships. We read to you how there were times like on Samson, and there were times in David's life. There were different times that these men, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came on them in such a way that they had power. They were empowered. They had extraordinary strength and an ability. It'd come on them and they would prophesy. Just start prophesying words. They had no idea. They had never thought about those words before, but the words was beginning to flow. So we see that happen all throughout the Scripture. God's Spirit is His influence, presence, and work, and power at work, accomplishing His will in the universe in general and in among His people in particular. This empowerment made possible the miracles recorded throughout the Hebrew Scripture, as well as in the gospel. This power. The miracles Jesus did was by this power. Now watch this. For example, Jesus Himself plainly stated God's Spirit empowered Him to drive out demons. That's what He said. That's what Jesus said. And you'll hear me say that again in the things that Jesus said. You'll hear it. I'm sure of it. Matthew 12:28, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And that was one of the verses we looked at. Luke, but if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Uh-oh. We might have to pause here, right? Let's back up. Look at Matthew 12:28. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, how many see that? That's clear. Then the kingdom of God has come upon you. How did He cast out the demons? By Luke's account. Go back to it. I didn't read it earlier to you because we're saving it for this portion. But if I cast out demons, same account, right? Same words to Jesus. He's His record. If I cast out demons by the finger of God, how'd that get there? Right? Then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, the way I am able to interact with you tonight and do the things that I'm doing, you see me up here, I'm able to do it with my body. My body was able to get out my house. I walked here, and now I was able to get my stuff out my office, come down here, put it up here, and then since we started, I've been interacting with you in the atmosphere of this room with my body. Now, if I'd have stayed upstairs and I'd have said, don't worry about a thing, my spirit's down there, just listen quietly, and everything's going to be cool. You'd have went, okay, pastor done lost it. Right? No, see, my spirit can't interact with you. How do I interact with you? By my body. How does God interact? Because He's spirit. Notice that. He's spirit. There's difference. There's difference. So God interacts, and the way He does it is by His spirit. So I want you to think about that. Sometimes we got to think about those things. Can Luke helps us out. So God's spirit would be God's body. There you go. His ability to interact with us. Do you understand that? So it describes in Scripture that the face of God, the finger of God, the arm of God. How many of you have read those things? That's for us to get that God, that's how He interacts, by His Spirit, and that's why Luke puts it this way. So Matthew says, by the Spirit of God, I cast out demons. And he says, by the finger of God. Am I talking about the same thing? Absolutely, I'm talking about the same thing. But it's showing that the finger represents what? A part of the what? Part of the body. And so you have to understand the Spirit of God as His ability to interact with us. The way we interact, I'm able to interact, but my body, I can put my hand on Charlotte's shoulder. I can put my hand on my mom's shoulder. I can reach out, shake hands with Ethan. I'm interacting with my body. How does God interact with us? By His Spirit. You notice that. By His Spirit, He interacts with us. Anybody want God to put His hand on your shoulder? I want him to. You understand? That's the important thing. And you got to know that that's how God interacts with us. I just want God to, when I'm driving down in some of the mornings, God, just put your hand on the back of my neck. And you say, well, Ken, how in the world he can do that? Because he does it by his Spirit. Do you understand that? And don't tell me it won't happen, because you try it and see. If you won't feel the hand of God, the glory of God, the power of God. And you got to understand that's how God interacts with us. That's how he makes connection with us. By the finger of God, he said. And that makes a difference when you read it that way. And a lot of times people read these contexts and we go through it and it never dawns on us. Why did that little nugget get thrown in there by Luke? How many see the importance of that? Just looking at those two and looking at them together. And so you see what happens. This simple equation, the Spirit of God equals the finger of God, marvelously supports what we have already found. The Spirit is the means by which God acts much like a body. That's how we act. We react with our body. That's how God acts. So it ought to make a lot more sense to you. When you're getting up every day, every morning, and you say, man, I just felt God. Don't think I'm just feeling this fuzziness or this, you know, whispering. It's more than that.
Yes, it is.
It's more than that. Let me tell you, I felt God. I felt the hugs of the Holy Spirit. So the way I felt him, put his arms on me. And that's important. That's important. I just need your touch, Lord. And that's what you got. And you got to acknowledge those things. You got to be, don't be shocked by them. Don't say, well, that's, I don't want to get scared. You don't have to fear or be afraid of anything that has to do with God. Amen? We just respect him and honor him because he's absolutely incredible. I interact with the world through my body. Right? God interacts with the world through his Spirit. Like a finger, all of what Christ was able to do was a result of the anointing of God's Spirit. So what do we need to do those things? Same anointing. We got to have that understanding. See, Christ understood what I'm teaching you right now. Once we understand that, what's going to happen in our life? We're going to have the same power that operates in our life. We're going to have it through the relationship of understanding who the Father is. And how God, you ever wondered that? How God can be a spirit, God is a spirit, and he's everywhere at all times. He has all power, all authority. And how is he going to interact with humankind who has gone through restoration? Because we're not there yet. Remember that. We're imperfect beings being restored back to the original intent of God. And the only way we can even have, the only way we can get the car, you know, it's like the car has been put in the junkyard. We've all had our own wrecks and our dents and bangs and we've worn out ourselves and we've been, you know, as far as the world's concerned, we're in the heap of it. But Christ comes along and he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to proclaim liberty to them who are out there in the pile. I'm going to set the captive free. I'm going to recover sight to the blind. You see, notice those things. I'm here for the poor because we say, well, there's no way it'll ever happen for me. I don't have anything. There's no, when you listen to Jesus' message, there's no excuse for anybody on the planet. Everybody can have him if they want him. But some people got more in this life than they think he has to offer them in the other life. And so that's why he said it's going to be difficult for people who have a lot to make it. Because they don't see their need for a Savior. They got it. But And then he says, okay, I'm going to take you out of the junk pile. I'm going to move you into the place of restoration. And this is a mess. And he starts working on us. And he works on us. And this is a sad thing that just blows my mind, is he gets the car running, but it still needs a paint job. The tires are flat. And the moment we get running, we go, I'm going to take this baby for a ride. He says, don't go yet. I'm not done with you. And what does people do? They back out and they go back in life and they run a hit again, crash, and he comes and he gets us back out of that. He brings us back in the garage of restoration and says, listen, I'm going to get your motor running, but you got to wait. You're going to be able to hot rod this baby in the kingdom and go as fast as you want to go. But you go parading around out there, you're going to get in another accident. Yeah. Stick with the, look at all them. Look at all them. And you look and it's a cross. All you see is just thousands of people being restored back to the original. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Well, how in the world is all that going to happen if we don't understand how God interacts with us? By His Spirit. How many of you know that God's a hands-on God? But God's a spirit. He don't have no hands. Well, I'm telling you, it says in the Word that He's got hands and He's got a face. How in the world? Why is He using those terminologies? Because it's how He interacts with us by His Spirit. Does that make sense to everybody? I hope this has helped you as much as it's helped me. When we were looking at this, it's absolutely incredible. All of what Christ was able to do, He was done it by the anointing of the Spirit of God's Spirit. Peter puts it this way. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed Him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. How was God with Jesus? Same ways with us. By His Spirit. Does that make sense to you? If He was with Jesus by His Spirit, then how is it that Jesus was able to do all those things? Because He was acknowledging God and realizing the action and function of the Spirit of God. That's what we got to do. We got to acknowledge the action and the function of the Spirit of God. That's what we got to do every day. Every day. You can't miss a day. Every day you got to acknowledge the action and function of the Spirit. You got to interact with the Spirit of God. That's God interacting with you. Don't go, so, you know, you don't do nothing all week and you come to church on Sunday and say, you know, I just want to feel something. What do you think? You're going to take like an anointing pill or something? That's what people want in life. They want it. I mean, if you got a one pill thing that you can lose weight, that's what I want. Give me the pill. I don't want to walk. I don't want to eat right. I don't want to do any of that stuff. I just want the pill. And that's what people, their mind thinks like that. And that's what I want in church. I just want to go to church. And when they hit song number one, I want to feel Him. Well, how in the world are you going to feel Him? You never talked to Him by His Spirit the whole entire week. You didn't do anything. And so somehow the church is supposed to have the right pill, so to speak, the right atmosphere, and all of a sudden there he is. Oh, I love that feeling. Just, ooh. Well, you can have that anytime you want. You just got to understand how God, the Most High, the one who spoke the world into existence, interacts with us, humanity, by His Spirit. It's the different spirit that Jesus had. Same Holy Spirit, same Holy Spirit you and I have. But He understood the function of the Holy Spirit and He allowed it to operate in His life on a daily basis. That's what we have to do. We do that and there'll be power and authority that'll come straight from you. You'll be able to speak the words of God. You're not going to be speaking your words. You'll speak the words of God by His Spirit and things will happen. Let me understand that. Very important. How many believe that when God said these things happened in the Old Testament, that people was empowered to do certain things, that they actually done those things? What's the difference? Do you think there's a difference now? God's lesser. He's not operating in the same level. He's pulled back. He's not giving everything to us. So somehow we're not going to succeed because we don't have everything everybody else had back then. I don't see that in the Word. Jesus said greater things. That's what he said. Jesus said greater things would you do than I did because I go to the Father. And you'll get this in a little while because if he went, you have to understand. Let me just put it this way. Before Jesus paid it in full, listen to me this careful because this is by the Spirit. Before Jesus paid it in full, the Spirit came. And he interacted with people. And the price wasn't paid. Think about that. The price was not paid for all them people. And then Jesus comes. That same Spirit comes. But now, this is what he said. Greater things you'll do. Watch this. Because I go to the Father. When he goes to the Father, what has already been done? He's already been paid. Now, do you understand the way the Spirit should be looked at now that it's been paid? Before, we was waiting for the payment, and look at all the powerful things that happen. The payment's already done. That's why it should be just absolutely incredible. So what you allow the Spirit to do and work in you to do, it's been paid for already, meaning that you have already been paid. You've been brought out of the junk pile into the garage, and if you let Jesus finish the work in you, it's absolutely incredible the things that you can do to touch and reach people in this world right now, before Christ returns, if we'll let the Holy Spirit do exactly what he was sent to do in the book of Acts account. Because that's an incredible account there. And I'm going to show you, it appears to be a contradiction, but we'll look at it careful and we'll see what he's really talking about. So this is important. I think that's what we'll do. We're going to stop right here because I'm going to be talking about this next Thursday and I'm going to need a whole Thursday to do it. The Spirit in John. The Spirit in John. Talking about the book of John. The Spirit in John. And it's going to talk about that. It's going to talk about what happened when the paraclete, and that's what it's, the paraclete, we're going to look at that together. It's going to be important. So I hope that this is helping you get a clearer and better understanding about the Holy Spirit as you interact with Holy Spirit throughout the day. And I want to encourage all of you to do that. Start interacting with Holy Spirit throughout the day. You want to be God to put his hand on you? It's by the Spirit. You're not getting God's hand put on you, or you're not getting this word. Nothing's coming from God unless it comes through his Holy Spirit. You understand? Because that's God's way. That's his way to interact with humankind. And so I want Holy Spirit to interact with me every day. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to be spoken to by the Spirit, and I want to be able to interact with the Spirit. And you can. You can do that on a daily basis. You can interact with the Spirit. And that's important. Very important. And just talk. It's like I'm talking to you. You talk to God. You talking to God. And how is God going to interact with you when you're talking to God? By Holy Spirit. That's how he interacts with you. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen it happen many times, and some of you are going to experience this tomorrow. You might experience it even tonight. Whatever you yield, and you put yourself in yield to that. But, I mean, you'll experience it, and you ought to put yourself in these positions where you push yourself to get to those moments. You say to the Lord, Lord, you know what we studied Thursday night? I want that operating in my life. I want to feel you when you put your hand on the back of my neck. And all of a sudden, you can't help it but weep. I mean, you just feel the glory of God. It's absolutely incredible. And you want to reduplicate those moments over and over and over and over. Let me tell you, it's not like God says, okay, you can only have it like once a week. There's no limit. Do you understand? You can have that interaction as much as you want. As many times as you want, you can have it. But I'm going to tell you, they only come when they're sincere request is made. It's got to be sincere. You don't ask him because you exhausted everything else and God's the only thing left. That's not why you ask for his presence, because you exhausted everything else. What about before you get started and you just want him, Lord, I want you first. As my day gets started, I don't want to get worn out the whole day and then God, I need you. What about when the first thing, when I do like that, my feet, I got a little rail on the side of my bed, I say, Father, thank you so much. You're so good to me. I just love you. And I appreciate you. I thank you for your goodness. I'll get dressed. I'm getting dressed early in the morning. Then I'll get in my truck and I'll pray in the spirit all the way to the marina. I just pray in the spirit. Do you understand? And that's important. These are things that are very important. And we're going to get to those details of that. But listen, there's no sense in me just going and say, okay, I'm going to talk about spiritual gifts. Well, you know, I'm talking about spiritual gifts, but you don't even know. You notice how we're doing this? We take our time. And you're going to understand how many, how clearly stuff is starting to make sense. Now I get it. Now I see about the Spirit of the Lord. And once we start talking about the gifts, it's going to be clear to you. You're going to be ready to operate in those things, and it's going to be built based upon the relationship that you have with the Father. How? By His Spirit. How do we get that? Through Christ. You notice that? All this combination, because He's the only one, because He says, I go to the Father. He paid the price, and so that's important. Before Christ died, you couldn't even get the car out of the junk pile. Does that make sense to you? It was all there. Now, God had a plan and a purpose for him, but it couldn't be brought out of there. But then he died. He said, okay, start loading up the garage. We're going to restore people. It's called being saved. Born again. Born again. And so when you take the car out of the junk pile and you get it finally done and this paint job on it, you go, wow, that was that car? Was that that car? I remember what that car looked like. Maybe you've had that encounter with people and said, well, I know how you was. And you just tell them, he's not done with me yet. I got a shock that's just kind of gives every now and then when I hit them bad bumps. Anybody ever hit a bad bump in life and your shock kind of gives? You know what you ought to do? Don't wait till you run off the road or break an axle. You know what God loves? When you pull in on a Sunday and you say, God, I hit that bump. And it was a tough bump. And it just gave a little bit, and I don't want that. Because it looked like I was weak. And with all this stuff you did, all this nice fancy paint job you put, I don't want to run off and hit a tree. And then everybody say, there he goes again. And it brings a mark against you. So you know what I want to do this morning, God, in church? Mm-hmm. I'm pulling in and I'm saying, God, you fix whatever needs to be fixed. So when I'm out there doing what you call me to do, I am not going to bring a bad mark against what you did in my life. And I hope this makes sense to you, because I'm going to tell you, it's up to you. You drive in you. You know how it reacts. I used to have a truck. I had a truck. When you go going down the road, I only paid $400-something for it. You going down the road and you hit a bump, it would shift lanes. It would go, boom, and you go, and then it would sway like that, and then finally it would catch back up. Hit another lane, bump, boom. It was bad. It needed to go. It was bad. And say maybe you have some instability, some issues. You know, Maybe this is you. You just can't help yourself. You're just living on speed. And somebody pulls up next to you. Whom, 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 whom. What? And God's going, don't do it.
That's it. Don't do it.
Last time you did that, you come in, the front end was all tore up. You don't have to impress nobody else. You just got to love me. Just got to get out of that. You don't need no pride. Don't try to impress. You just say to God, you know what? And they're right on side of you. Come on. Come on. And you're going, that's okay.
That's it.
When that person's screaming at you, and you just say, raise your hands to the one. You know what I'm saying? Just get in that lane. Don't worry about all that stuff. Because if you do it, I can assure you, they're not going to run off the road. You're going to be the one. There you go again. And then we come to God. Boom, 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 boom. Hubcaps rolling off. You pulling in the Sunday service. And God's going, what did you do? And all of it, you think somehow the pastor's supposed to have some miracle message and it's going to just put you right back on and everything's going to be good. Listen, you have Spirit of God every day. Every single day. And he's going to say, don't do that. Don't say
that.
And you got to acknowledge that he gave you that direction. You have to do, I'm telling you, you have to. I don't care how good you think you are about anything. There's been times I was in a fog so bad. And you know, sometimes we just want to pat ourselves on the back. And you got to get in this habit. It's a good habit. You don't take the credit. You say, God, I thank you. You had to open my understanding. You had to give me clarity in my mind. And you brought me. I mean, I hit it right on. And it had. I just want to thank you. You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. I can't tell you how many times I prayed that prayer after I hit that pass. And I knew I was home safe after coming. I talked many times. And you got to get in the habit of doing that. Just get in the habit of doing it. You might go out and you hit them right. I mean, you go to that one spot and boom, every cast. Give God the glory. Don't say, well, I mean, I'm pretty good at this. Say, God, you know, I wasn't even going to come here, but I felt, you know what? What was that? What was that little, just a little pull? And then I went, and you look what you did. Give him the glory for it. Because that's God interacting with us by his Spirit. That's how he does it. You ever felt you're going down the road and all of a sudden you feel that nudge? Mm-hmm. Maybe the finger of God going.
Yeah.
And you go, maybe you was going into a situation and you felt that nudge. You said, I ain't going. He kept you out of that. You probably would have went over there and the whole thing would have. And then you'd have looked like the bad person.
Yeah.
So keep these things in mind. This is good. God is good to us. So I'm glad that we're doing the words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I think they're two powerful, important subjects in the Scripture. Amen? Sunday morning, what Jesus says is going to be incredible. We're going to continue doing that. And then, of course, next Thursday, we'll start right here, the Spirit in John, talking about the Gospel of John. It's powerful. And we're going to look at the difference and why it seems like there's an apparent contradiction, and we'll see if we can clear that up. Because this is where it's where it starts to get where this has divided a lot of churches right here. Because people are talking about the Book of Acts spirit was completely different than the Old Testament spirit and the spirit that Jesus had. Why don't we let the Word tell us? Amen? God bless you. I love you.